We're holding on Nungimul Umud Bey's six lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Nofel l'seicha shor v'kelav v'nishtab v'chola. We said that if a shor together with its gear fell into a burr, or chamor together with its gear, we said the person is chayev for the death or injury of the animal and potter for the cape. Rashi had pointed out in the Mishnah the expression breaking is appropriate by a shor because it usually is carrying hard things like yoke, like a yoke, and by chamor the appropriate word is niskaru, they were ripped because a chamor usually carries soft things like a saddle or packages or whatever. Anyway, the Gemara says masnisin deloy k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev on this kelim babur, because we learn in a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda says a person is chayev for kelim getting broken or ripped in a burr. So my time is the Rabbanon. Why did the Rabbanon hold that you potter for kelim in a burr? And of course that is the halacha. Because the pasuk says v'nofel shama shor chamor, the pasuk says a shor or a chamor falls in there, and as we've learned before, shor v'le adam, chamor v'le kelim. The word shor comes to exclude a person, and the word chamor comes to exclude kelim. So therefore, a person would be potter for those. V'Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer back to that? He says, on the contrary, oi l'rabbis is a kelim. He said, yeah, if it had said shur v'chamer, then it would mean not kelim. But since it says shur oi chamer, the word oi, which is or, means to include kelim as well. V'rabbanon, what do the chachamim answer back to that? What do they do with the word oi? They say, oi miboylei l'chalek. They say you need the word oi in order to distinguish. Because in other words, if it said v'nofel shama shur v'chamer, then you might think that you'd only be chayev only if a shur and a chamur fall in there. Therefore, you need oi to say it's either a shur or a chamur. So not that you're meant to learn anything from that word oi, it's meant to show that it means only one of them and not both of them. Now, Tosfos points out there is a machlokas in various places in Shas between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia on that question. A lot of times sometimes the Torah will say, we'll mention two things and connect them by a vav, and sometimes the Torah will mention two things and connect them like with oi, like here when it says when it connects them with a vav, does it mean both of them or does it mean one or the other? And then according to the opinion that that's a according to so you have Rabbi Yoshia holds that if it says a vav, it means it's both of them together, and therefore it has to say oi. And therefore, it has to say oi to say it's one or the other. According to Rabbi Yonasan, you don't need that because the vav by itself means or. One example of it is, for example, the Torah says, "Make over vi'imai mos yumas." If a person hits and wounds his father, his mother, then he gets misa. So it doesn't mean that he has to hit both of them in order to be chayiv misa. It means one of them. But they argue how exactly we learn that. Does the vav all by itself mean or does it mean that the vav by itself would mean and? Then we have a different pasuk that tells us that a person is chayiv for hitting only one of them. So it's machlokas in various places in Shas. So here, then Tosfos points out that our sugya would necessarily have to go according to Rabbi Yoshia. According to Rabbi Yonasan, you don't need the word oi, even if it had said v'nafal shama shor v'chamer, we would understand that it means a shor or a chamer. That's according to Tosfos. The Rosh points out that actually no, not necessarily, because the fact is we're going to learn later on. We're going to learn on Omer Beis that there are a lot of dinim in the Torah that apply not just to a shor v'chamer but to other kinds of animals as well. One of them being the dinim of kilayim. And here, if it said shor v'chamer, we would have thought to learn by a gzeira shava. We would have said, just like over there, you obviously when it says that you can't plow with a shor v'chamer, obviously it doesn't mean one or the other of them, it means the both of them. So maybe over here you would have thought that also it means only if the both of them fall in. So therefore, even according to Rabbi Yonasan, here it's a special case, and you would in fact need the word oi, say the chachamim, in order to distinguish, in order l'chalik, to divide them to say that it's either a shor or a chamer. Doesn't have to be both. For Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, L'chalek mivinofal nafka. He says, you can learn that from the fact that it says vinofal in the singular. If it meant two animals together, then it would have said vinoflu. So therefore, it's all by itself, then that means one animal. So therefore, he says, you don't need the word oi to mean that it's one animal. Therefore, you have oi available to teach you about Cain. V'Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan answer back to that? They say that's not a proof. V'nofal tuva mashma. The word v'nofal could equally well mean many animals. You have various examples where the Torah uses a singular verb, even though you have plural subjects. Rashi gives several examples. For example, the pasuk says v'osa v'tzalo v'aliyav, v'tzalo and aliyav will make the mishkan. Now that's two people. Plus the Torah continues to mention all the other chachmelei. So it should have said v'osu, and yet it says v'osa in the singular. And you have several other examples that Rashi brings. So therefore, the chachamim say that no, just because it says v'nafal wouldn't necessarily mean only one animal. You need the word oi to say that it means only one. Okay. So that explains the machlokas between them. But the Gemara asks, Ema, well, why don't we say then, why don't we douse in the pasuk as follows? The nofal is a klal, shur v'chamur is a prat. So therefore, klal a prat, ein b'chlal ala mashav a prat. How do we douse in a klal a prat? We say that it means that we don't say, so the word v'nofal would be a klal. It means anything that falls into the bor and gets damaged. The word shor or chamor would be a prat, so therefore we'd say that it means the klal is to be limited only to the prat, and it means, in other words, the reason why the Torah does it that way is if it only said the prat, shor or chamor, then you would say that you would try to make a binyan av from it to other things. So like this, by saying a klal first and then a prat, the Torah is telling us, no, even though you might have thought there's a klal over here, in fact, there's only a prat, well, then you would say shur v'chamur ein midi achrin aloi. In that case, it should be limited only to a shur and a chamur. And the answer is amri. They answer back because the posit continues balabur yishalem chos v'cholal. Because the posit continues, actually, the next posit says the owner of the bur shall pay. So therefore, chos v'cholal. That's another klal that whatever it is that got damaged in the bur, the owner of the bur, the one who dug the bur, has to pay. Therefore, it's not a klal of prat. We have instead klal of prat to klal. And as we know, the rule is iyata don elakein prat. Now what we say is, it's not that it's limited only to the prat. We say it means that we construct a general class of things that are similar to the prat. So, maha prat meforesh bale chayim. So therefore, since the prat is specified, say the chachamim, that it means only living animals, af kol bale chayim. Therefore, therefore the prat is teaching only bale chayim, only living animals. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would say he agrees. Rashi says he agrees with that klal of prat, but he says here, because you have the word oi, then it's meant to add an extra detail that you wouldn't have had before. So they both agree that it's excluding people because after all, it did say sure, and that meant only animals. People are not animals, but Rabbi Yehuda would say, because it says oi, you have to include something else as well. Namely, he says that you're including Kalin. Well, the Gemara says, well, how do you know to Daushin? Fine, so you're going to say it's a klal of prat or klal. How do you know to Daushin the klal of prat or klal that way, and to say that it includes any living creature, which we're going to learn on Omid Beis that it does. If you have, if a person has a pet, if a person has an animal of any kind, a person has even a bird, for example, and it falls into a burr and gets killed or injured, then the owner of the burr is going to be chayiv. But how do you know? Given that it mentions shur and chamur, how do we know that it comes to include all animals? You might argue, ma prat meforesh dovash nivlosim atam of magor masa. What is it specified about the prat? Only things where the dead carcass of it is matami a person by touching it or carrying it, which is true of kosher animals when they weren't shechted properly, when they were nevela, as well as non-kosher animals. And of course, by them, it doesn't matter whether they were shechted or not. So a dead shur that wasn't shechted or a dead chamur is going to be metame, a person who touches it or who carries it even without touching it. Af kol davash nivlosa metame of mago masa. So maybe the Torah is telling us that this maybe with the klal of prat or klal, it's telling us that it includes only creatures where the dead carcass of it would be metame b'mago masa, meaning aval oifos loy, so therefore it would exclude birds, because a dead bird, the only way the nevela of a dead bird is metame, you have a something the Torah tells us in Parshas Achrimos, it's discussed extensively in Masechta Cholin primarily, is if a person swallows it. When a person swallows such a nevela, then he becomes tame the moment he swallows it. but not touching and not carrying. So maybe therefore, so easy if you're going to say a klala prato klala over here. So maybe birds are excluded. If a person has a pet bird or whatever, a person has, let's say a chicken falls in there and gets killed, maybe he'd be potter. The answer is, if that were the case, sure, but if that were the case, then the Torah could have written only one of the two pratim. It could have written either sure alone or chamur alone. So therefore, since it says both of them, then Rashi explains this is one of those ein things. Since you don't need it legufay, because once it said sure, for example, we could learn chamur from it, because sure would be a prat, which again, klal prat of klal, we would say it means any animal. Then therefore, we have chamur available to teach us about birds, or vice versa. If it said only chamur, we would learn sure from that. Now, Rashi points out, this is called im eina inyan. Sometimes you have many times, you have a drasha in the Gemara, where the Gemara will say, we don't need a certain word or a certain description in a pasuk, legufay, for its context, because we already know that concept by a different one, and Yud Gomidus, Shatar Nadashis Behem, therefore we're taking it a little bit out of context and using it to teach us something unrelated or something somewhat related. So here we would use one of these words, either shur or chamer, to teach us about birds.
So could have just said shur.
It could have just said shur or chamer, exactly.
It says both.
It says both, therefore we can use one of them to teach us about birds. Now Rashi points
out of the prat.
Right. Now, that birds are also included in the prat, therefore. They're also included in the class that surrounding the prat. Now, Rashi does point out the Gemara could ask at this point that, look, in that case, then how are you going to be mamayit a person? So first we're going to deal with this matter of birds, and eventually the Gemara is going to give up on this answer and come to a different answer. But that's the style of the Gemara. We first try to work out all the implications of one answer before we give up on it and go to another one. So the Gemara says, well, if you're going to say that, so what are you telling me? It could have said only sure, and we would have learned all the other animals from it, but not birds, and therefore it says chamur, and therefore we learn birds as well, or vice versa. The problem with that is, hey, nichtar, you're telling me it could have written only sure or only chamur. Which one would you say it would have written, and we would have learned all the other one? We would have learned all the other animals from it. E cos of sure, if the Torah had written only sure, have amina, then you would say, you know what, sure is not just an animal, it's a specific kind of animal. Korv legabe mizbeach, it's something that can be brought as a korban on the mizbeach. So ain, maybe only that. Maybe the concept of bird would apply only to the type of animal that can be brought on the mizbeach. So fine, you would include sheep, you would include goats, but you wouldn't code the three kinds of kosher. It wouldn't even include wild animals. It wouldn't even include wild kosher animals like deer, let alone non-kosher animals. So kort of legabim mizbeach ain't shayne kort of legabim mizbeach loy. Maybe it wouldn't include ones that aren't brought on the mizbeach. So therefore, it has to say chamur. The e kos of rachmana chamur. And on the contrary, if the Torah had only written chamur have amina, then you would think, you know what? Maybe the din applies only kodesh bebechora ein shein kodesh bebechora loy. Maybe it only applies to the type of animals that have the concept of bechor. Among the animals, which ones have the din of a bechor, kosher animals, and among all the non-kosher animals, only the donkey, petra chamur. So you would think if it said only chamur, maybe, for example, it would exclude horses or camels, let's say. So therefore you could say that, therefore of necessity, it has to say the both of them. Because if you only had one of them, then you would misinterpret. You would draw the Ke'ena Prat too narrowly. Either if it said only sure to mean only animals that can be brought as korbanos, and thus excluding all non-kosher animals and most kinds of birds, it would exclude all non-kosher animals, all kosher wild animals, as well as most birds, because only totem. Ubnei Yona can be brought as korbanos among birds. If it said only chamur, then you would think it means only the types of animals to which the concept of bechor applies. So it would be the three types of domestic animals, the three types of kosher domestic animals, cows, sheep, and goats, plus donkeys. So therefore, it needs to say the both of them in order to make it clear that it means that it's more general than that. That it's not just ones in those narrow categories, but wider, but wider points as well.
What gives you the first turn off to go a carbon to Hashem. What?
Because in general, that's how we work with a klal, a prat, a klal. We have to find what does the prat have? What characteristics are there about the prat that we can create, that we can construct a group of things that have in common with that? So yes, you could draw it very widely to say that it means all animals, but you don't have a proof for that. It's almost like tafasta merubaloi tafasta. The more narrow way would be a shur is one of those creatures that can be brought as one of those few creatures that can be brought as karbonis. A chamer is one of those few creatures that has the concept of bechor. So once you have shur and chamer, then you would say and say so Rashi explains since now it's true both shur and chamer have the concept of bechor, of course, but once you have once you have at least you have one it didn't have to if it was just as far as bechora it didn't have to list both of them. Therefore, once it says shur v'chamer, then fine we can include for example horses. At least they do have this in common with shur and chamer that they're both animals and that their nevela is matame a person. But still, how would we know to include birds?
But even what it called the horse. It doesn't have not a carbon.
It's not a carbon. It's not bechora. It's true, but that's what Rashi is pointing out. If it only said either shur or chamer, then you would think that once it says shur v'chamer, fine, we can say that it means the Torah is trying to tell us a more general prat. But still, how general are we going to make it already? It would mean at least how far are we going to extend it? Fine, we can extend it at least to other creatures that are animals and that have a nevela that's matame. But to go so far as birds, which are a completely different category, where their nevela is not even matame, how would we know to include them?
Or horses 4 feet and if has 2 feet.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's different. That. Yeah, maybe. Okay. All right. Tosfos also points out, by the way, now on Omid Beis, we're going to talk about that. You have when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah tells us that you have to have your shur and chamur rest on Shabbos. You can't have your animals do work for you on Shabbos. And from that we learn all kinds of animals, and we're going to learn on Omid Beis there are a number of dinim that we learn that apply to all kinds of animals and birds. So why doesn't the Gemara just bring that over here? Instead of, we're saying over here that we have a problem if we try to darshan by klal or prat or klal, we're going to draw it too narrowly and we're going to exclude birds. Yeah, but on the base, we're just learning from Shabbos.
And it's a clue.
Yeah. So, and the answer is, Tosfos says, because where we're able to do a klal or prat or klal, then we're not going to use that drasha from Shabbos. Where we don't have a klal or prat or klal available, then we're going to use a gzeder shava from Shabbos, where it says shur v'chamer, and the pasuk also clarifies that it means v'chol b'ham techa, that it adds all your animals. So then, when we don't have anything else available, we'll use that gzeder shava and learn that it means all animals. Here, when we have a klal or prat or klal, the Gemara is assuming that we would rather darshan the klal or prat or klal. And therefore, the question is then, so how are we going to darshan it in such a way that it will include birds?
But Shabbos, that's not a klal or prat or klal?
By Shabbos, yeah, we're going to talk about an Omid Beis, but even if it is, the point is, from Shabbos, we learn out to other dinim. For example, we learn out from it to chasima, when the Torah tells us, you know, to muzzle an animal while it's working. We learn by Exeter Shabbos, and it says shur there, and it says shur by Shabbos. Then, therefore, it means all creatures. And similarly, several other dinim that we're going to talk about on Omid Beis.
Let's say used up.
Right. Not so much it's used up, but the point is that we can have a Xeter Shava from one thing to multiple things, because each time it says sure. But Tosfos is saying, since over here we have a klal or prat or klal, we're not going to use that Xeter Shava. A klal or prat or klal is, so to speak, a better way of learning.
You don't say since all klal or prat or klal, when it comes to behemoths, it includes ifas, you can't say
no, because we don't have yet. That's what we're asking over here. That's what we're trying to figure out over here. So we can't learn it. So we can't learn it from a klal or prat or klal. Rather, ella omakrav ames yeloi. Rather, the reason is the reason why we're including all creatures, including birds, is because the pasuk finishes off and it says v'hames yeloi, the dead body will belong to him, which, as we've learned before, means that the dead body of the animal belongs to the nizik. The mazik has to schlep it out of the bird, but then it belongs to the nizik, and we calculate the amount that the mazik has to pay, the difference, yeah, involving that, meaning called by misa. So therefore, from that we learn that anything to which misa applies, then the dinim are then the dinim of bor are going to apply. Which includes birds, yeah. Okay. Well, so that's how we learn birds as well. So we're not learning from the klal of prat to klal after all. Rather, we're learning from the fact that it says vamesiyala. Well, so the question is then, bein l'rabbanan to come a mati l'hula kelim. Well, so now whether we go according to the chachamim who say that that we're excluding kelim because they said that chamur means v'loy kelim. Or according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's including Kalim, because he says you learn from the word oi, that it means Kalim as well. The question is, if you're saying ultimately that we're including everything else, that we're including all animals, that we're including all other animals from Bahamesi Allah, you have to ask, Kalim ben Emissa Ninu. Oh, Kalim, something that can die. How can we include? If we're saying Bahamesi Allah includes anything that can die, so therefore fine, includes all animals and all birds. But Kalim are an inanimate object. So therefore, how do we talk about Bahamesi Allah as far as Kalim?
We don't say that in general animals are made to carry loads.
What's the difference? So an animal is made to carry load.
So it's all one, you're responsible for the behemoth.
No, that's because that's exactly what the Mishnah had said, that if a shur falls in there carrying its gear, or a chamur carrying its gear, you're chayev for the animal and potter for the kelim. So, but the question is, according to the chachamim, we're saying that they were saying that you're potter for kelim. Well, why would we think to include them? Vamesi aloy includes only animals. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we learn kelim from oi, the fact is it says vamesi aloy, and then that can't include kelim. So why are we talking about Kalim in the first place? According to the Chachamim, Kalim should be completely out of the picture. And according to the Yehuda as well, Kalim should be completely out of the picture. Why do the Chachamim need the word Chamur to tell us not Kalim? And why does the Yehuda need the word Oi to tell us yes, Kalim? Either way, it's not included. Ramesi Eloi. So Amri, they answer back, yeah, Shvirosan Zuhi Misosan. When a Kali breaks, it's the equivalent of it dying. So you have the klicheres. The expression is breaking them is how they become tahor. So here the Gemara is saying a somewhat different point. Shvirosan zui misasan. At this point, it's considered like they're dead. Yeah, it's a related point, and both expressions are brought in various places in Chassidus to express the idea. For example, as far as Shvirasan Zui Tarasan, we have certain things, certain aspects of the Nefesh of Bahamas, certain things of Sholosh Klipos, things of Sholosh Klipos Apmeis, etc., in connection with Tanya that we're learning these days, that the only thing to do is to break them and reject them because there's no way to be metahe them. And in a similar vein, here they talk about, for example, as far as the Olam HaTohu, where there's Shviras HaKelim, we talk about Olam HaTohu as a dead world in the sense that Shvirasan Zuri Misasan, the Kelim, and they're in Olam HaTohu, broke because of the intensity of the Ur over there, and therefore we can speak of that world as a dead world, which therefore that has various implications in Chassidus. So a broken Keli is a dead Keli. There is, by the way, an interesting implication of this Lahalocha as well. Besides for klei cheres, you have a koistral bracha, a cup that you're going to be using for kiddush or benching or what have you. There's a number of dinim about it. One of them, the Gemara mentions in brachas, is it has to be chai. Now chai literally means alive.
No fresh.
So one second. So some rishonim learn that chai means the wine has to be undiluted, as opposed to the opposite of chai would be mazel, would be diluted wine. However, other rishonim object. The fact is, you do dilute it. You don't drink the wine in those days where they mix their wine with two or three parts water. You wouldn't drink it neat. So rather, they explain based on this Gemara that chayen, the cup itself, has to be complete without cracks or whatever. Because we see if we're calling a broken keli a dead keli, then therefore chay keli would mean one that's completely intact.
I was going to ask you, because you don't see lushan of a broken thing called misa by kelim.
So here we find that. Okay. So it is included in Vamesi Eloi, and therefore, so according to the Chachamim, you need the word Chamur to tell us that you don't include them after all, and according to the Yehuda, you use the word Oi to include them. Okay. The Halacha is like the Rabbanon. Yeah, the Halacha is like the Rabbanon. So Kalim, you put the boy. Okay. So... So the Gemara asks, or the Rav. Now let's go back. We had earlier in the sugya, we had Rav's opinion that said that. Rashi adds the point over here that once we say shvirasan zui misasan, so according to the chachamim, you need the word chamur in order to tell us otherwise, because and why would we be mimayat them? Why wouldn't we say, well, after all, it says v'amesi yaloi, and therefore, based on the logic we just said, we shouldn't include them. After all, it's not real misa; it's misa only like in a borrowed sense. So therefore, the chachamim say you're going to be mimayat something, then you're going to be mimayat them. Then when you say sure, you're saying it excludes adam, because an adam is not a behemoth. Rashi adds, if it said only one of them, then you would think that you're only excluding Adam, but not Kalim. Therefore, that's why you need the word Chamer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the verdict would be, it's true that Kalim are not actually B'nai Misa. You're using Misa when it comes to Kalim only in a borrowed sense. Nevertheless, he says the word Oy can include them. The word Sure, he agrees, excludes Adam, because the Pasuk is telling us that it has to be some kind of living creatures. Now, then the question becomes, so sure is a living creature, a chamor is a living creature. The point is, though, that, not living creature, but rather an animal. So therefore, he would say that it is limited only to animals and birds and things like that. And the word oy on top of that includes Caleb. They both agree that people are excluded because people are in a different category of their own.
Even though people are metame, but
nevertheless, a person is metame in a different way than a behemoth. Also, it's metame but oil, and metame a person for 7 days, and animals only for 1 day. So, yeah. Now, then the question would become at this point that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand why it needs to say sure. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why does it need to say chamer? The chachamim are using sure to be memayat a person and chamer to be memayat kalim, and that's that. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying sure excludes a person. What is chamor coming to exclude? On the contrary, he says from oy, you're including kalim. What are we excluding with chamor? The Gemara is going to point that out further on.
We didn't say anything about the bechor.
We said before that if it had said only sure or chamor, we might have said that. But right now that we have, in the end, we're not learning from the klal or prat klal. We're saying on the face of it, we're learning from the fact that it says v'amesi yaloi. So it includes anything that's able to die. So therefore, so fine, we're excluding people because they're in a category of their own. We're including all kinds of animals and birds because they can die falling into a burr. We're including kalim because their breaking is considered a form of dying as well. But what do we need chamer? The Gemara is going to take that up soon. But first, the question is, Ula Rav. Now, according to Rav, which we learned in the last few dafim, Dama Bur Shechiv Olav Turtle Ahevloi V'Leil Chavdoi, he says that that fundamentally the reason a person is chayav for a burr is not so much for the impact, because he says karka olam, after all, that ground was there before and is there now and belongs to the Bnei Rosh Hashanah, and you haven't changed anything in it. So rather, he says, what are you chayav for is only lahevloy, is only for the stale air in the burr, which we said that weakens and kills the animal. Either it directly suffocates or indirectly it weakens the animal so it can't brace itself or whatever. Well, the question is, bein l'rabban and bein l'rabihud, kalim and hevlon inu, are kalim going to be affected by that stale air? Why do the chachamim say that you need a posik to be memayat kalim according to Rav? And why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you have a posik to add kalim? What hevla is going to affect them? And the answer is Amri. So the answer, yeah, b'chadati, yes, because for example, you could be talking about new kalim demifki mehevla, where the hot air and the hotter air in the burr, yeah, can cause new kalim which haven't really been seasoned and used yet. It can cause them to crack. Yeah, differences in temperature or differences in air pressure or whatever can cause new kalim to break. So here, as it's falling into a burr, and you have a difference in temperature, a sharp difference in temperature between outside the burr and inside it, and you have a bit more air pressure, that might make the difference for new kalim that they might break. The Rashba points out even old kalim, conceivably you could have, where you can see that the air in the burr actually had an effect on them. So whatever, according to Rav, you do have a way of transferring it. So
depends
what it's made out of. Yeah. Okay. Another question. So what are we saying? We're learning from Vamesi Yaloi that any creature or any and that any entity of which you can speak of Nisa, then if it falls into a bo yachayev. According to the Chachamim, it means all animals and birds, and according to the Yehuda, it means also kaken. The question is though, hi v'amesi aloy mi bo yalei l'chidur rabba. Aren't we already using the words v'amesi aloy for a different drasha of rabba? The Amar Rava, which we've learned a few times already, that Rava had said, "Sher psulah mukdashin shenafal labur." That if an ox psulah mukdashin falls into a bur potter, then the owner of the bur is potter. And we said, even though this animal was already redeemed, even though it was already bought back from Hekdesh and it belongs to the owner, nevertheless, such an animal, if it dies, you're not allowed to feed the meat to dogs or give it to a goy or whatever. Shenemar, and the pasuk says v'ames yaloi, the mess should be his, meaning b'misha mess yaloi. So the whole concept applies only where the mess belongs to him, only when he can do whatever he wants with the carcass. Yotzezesh ain't a mess yaloi, as opposed to psulah mukdashin, the dead body doesn't belong to him because he has to bury it because it's also b'hana. So we already are using it for that drasha. So how can we also use it over here to mean an animal or to mean any animal or Caitlin?
So when we learned that, it said that from the same pasuk, you're learning this one, you're learning Ozla Mes.
Ah, so there is that point that we said the Velav Memela Shamat, we know. Once you're mentioning a dead body, then that alone implies that you are talking about where there's a dead body. Yeah. So the difference is over there the Gemara wasn't trying to be marba something from the pasuk. The Gemara was using over there the word v'amesi aloy, meaning that we were explaining what do we mean by v'amesi aloy means we're referring to the one to whom the mess belongs, and we were deriving a din from that. So we're not adding something new that wasn't said in the pasuk already. We were just saying once we realize that v'amesi aloy implies that there is a dead body already over there. So then we said that when we had a case over there when one person digs a burr and the other one digs the rest of it. So the one who digs the rest of it, the one who digs it down, the 10 tefachim is the one that's chayev. We're not being marba. We're not adding something. We're not adding something that we didn't already know from the pasuk. We're clarifying kind of which one it is that's chayev, the one who makes the burr deep enough to kill. Here we're trying to be marba something. Here we're trying to be marba all kinds of animals and birds, or and according to Rabbi Yehuda, kalim as well. And the question is, if we're taking out Sherp Solam Akdashin, how do we use the same pasuk to be married by something else? This is one of the first ones called Shitzach and Modim points out this point. Yeah, good. So we already have it. So we're already using it for that drasha. We don't have it available for this. So Ella, no. So the reason we're not learning from the word v'ames yaloi. You're right. We need v'ames yaloi for that drasha of Rabbos. And yeah, incidentally, we can also learn from it since we are talking about where there's a dead body involved, and we can learn the one who made the bow deep enough to create a dead body is the one who is chayav. Right. Rather, the fact that we're learning other animals and birds, and according to Rabbi Yehuda Kalim, rather we're learning Omakra, because the pasuk says Kesef Yoshiv Levalav. The pasuk says, as far as the bird, he has to repay money to the owner. So therefore, Lerab is called the Islay Bailim. So therefore, it comes to include anything else that has an owner. Well, the question is, Yachyafil Kalim Ba'odim Nami, new in that case, then include Kalim and include people as well. People.
Yeah,
Kalim for sure, and a person you could have an Eved or a Shifcha. What?
It's a question on the Rabban.
Yeah, so it's a question on everybody. The answer is Omakra, Shur v'le'odim, Chamur v'le'kalim. Okay, because the fact is, since it said Shur and Chamur, and we have the mute from that Shur means not an Odom, and Chamur means not a Kalim, so therefore we are excluding them. So we have Shur v'chamur, which teaches us there is a miut. On the other hand, we have Kesef Yoshev Levalav, which comes to include not only Shur v'chamur, and not only things that are similar to Shur v'chamur, like we said before, that have the dinim of b'chora, or where their dead bodies are metame b'mago v'masa, whatever, but it includes other kinds of animals as well. And according to the Yehuda, it includes Kalim, and it includes Kalim as well. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yehuda, well, then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's including Kalim, so we have to figure out. So we understand why it says sure, because he's saying that sure excludes a person. Everybody agrees that a person is potter for a bur, for a person falling into his bur. By the way, we talked about the other day, the Rambam learns in this connection that when are you potter for a person falling into your bur is only if the person got killed. But as far and here the Gemara is going to talk about soon about the case of a shur pikeach, a normal aware shur, which also a person is potter for it falling into his bur if it was by day because it should have watched where it's going. However, the Rambam learns that in both of those cases, with a person over the shur, if it got injured, the owner of the bur is going to be chayim. The Ravid disagrees with that and says, what are you talking about? The whole time we're saying over here, you potter for Adam and you potter, as we're going to say soon, for a shur pikeach. The Magen Mishnah answers over there, it's one thing. You can expect that an Adam is going to be careful, or a shur pikeach is going to avoid hazards that could kill them. But they're not necessarily going to avoid hazards that would only injure them, and therefore the owner of the burr, there's reason to be mechayivim for that. Anyway, but so everybody agrees that you're mamayit a person where a person got killed in a bur, which isn't to say, by the way, of course, I mean, certainly the owner of the bur is going to be chayv b'dinei shamayim, if nothing else. Adrabah, maybe we would say, or Shamshon Ofal Hirsch mentions as much in his Pirush on Chumash, he says that, you know, when one person's sure killed another, then the Torah says he ought to be chayv misa, but instead he pays koifer by a bur. Maybe the Torah is saying it's a serious enough thing. You yourself dug this bur. So therefore, we can't let you get away with koifer. It's going to be something more serious than that. Anyway, the point is, everybody agrees that you're mamayit, Adam from the word shur. So ela chamer my mamayit be. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what are we excluding from the word chamer? According to the Chachamim, we're excluding Kalim. But Rabbi Yehuda, who's including Kalim, so what is he doing with the word chamer? And to ela amar Rava, so rather Rava says, as a matter of fact, yeah. Chamer de bur le Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that it says a donkey in connection with a bur, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a kasha. The seda aveda, as well as the fact that the Torah tells us by an aveda, by a lost object, the Torah tells us whatever you find, al shur, al chamer, al salma, whatever kind of lost object you find, you have to return it. And the Gemara points out in Bava Metzia that we have limudim. We learn something from shur. We learn something from chamer. We learn something from salma. But we don't, on the face of it, we don't learn anything from seh that we should that it should have needed to say it in the pasuk in the first place. So both the Rava is just mentioning them together because they're both examples where the Torah is mentioning a detail and we don't understand what it's there for. So both of them, kasha, the sedavet, the divrahakol, kasha. Both of those things. Why does it mention chamer in connection with a bur, according to the Yehuda? And why does it mention seh in connection with lost objects, according to everybody? Because nobody is learning anything from that prat. Kasha, both of those things are a kasha, why the Torah mentioned them.
It's
two different psukim, but it's two different psukim. Rava is just mentioning them together because they're both an example where we have a detailed mention of something in a pasuk where we don't understand what the purpose of mentioning it was. The Pnei Yeshua over here has a long arichos over the point. He says, so what is the Gemara adding with that? First of all, what is Rava adding that we didn't just say before? We just said the question is why it needs to say Chamer. And why is it saying Ella, which usually Ella in the Gemara means forget about what we said until now, rather we're going to say such and such. So he has a long arichos explaining that up until now, the Gemara was sort of assuming that we could still use the Klal or Prat or Klal to some degree, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore that we need both Shur and Chamer, like we said before, because otherwise we would, otherwise if we had only Shur or only Chamer, then we would draw the Prat too narrowly. Now the Gemara has finally reached the point where we can't say that at all, and therefore the Gemara, therefore Ella, rather we're saying, never mind what we said up until now, rather we have to say the fact is it remains a Kasha, we can't use the Klal or Prat to Klal at all, therefore the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what we're learning from Chamer. And he has a long arichos about that. On a deeper level, there's a sicha in Chelek Aleph where the Rebbe talks about, he brings from a maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek, those four things that it mentions in connection with Aveda, or actually not Aveda. You have actually a different related pasuk that talks about a shomer who was careless with the thing that that was entrusted to him, and then therefore it gets lost or stolen or what have you. And it mentions these same four things, shur, chamer, seh, and salma, mentions Asher, I'll call Aveda, anything that might get lost. He brings from Tzemach Tzedek that each one of those represents a different kind of Yetzirah. For example, a shur, we've been learning throughout the Masechta, can be a destructive animal. So therefore, a shur represents a person who is destructive towards others. A chamer is a creature that always feels cold. So therefore, it represents a person who feels a certain coldness, a certain apathy towards Yiddishkeit, and so forth. The seh, in that connection, refers to a person who feels like a sheep. He's a follower. He's not the yid should be a leader. I'm not going to just follow in the ways of the goyim around me, but rather he feels himself like a sheep. I'm just going to go along with whatever the crowd does. You go with the flow, yeah. So then, so that ever comments in the sicha, that therefore what the Gemara is saying is seda veda. On the face of it, you should think, okay, so what's the problem? It's easy. Out of all of those four categories, it should be the easiest to bring this person back to Yiddishkeit. But on the other hand, no, if he's lacking that beginning of Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't realize how Yevish Mepnei Maligim, the most important thing for a Yid, is not to be embarrassed because of people who mock his Yiddishkeit, and therefore not to say, I'm going to go along with whatever they do. So therefore, Kasha, it becomes a Kasha, it becomes difficult to figure out how we're going to return such a person to Yiddishkeit. Nevertheless, the Torah is empowering us to do just that, because Ein Lecha Davar Sha'im B'fnei Atshuva.
Sama is
the
clothes, right?
Sama is clothing, yes. Yeah. So Tzemach Tzedek in that maimer, which the Rebbe quotes, the Rebbe associates it with the word beged, besides meaning clothing, also means to be disloyal. So a Salma, therefore, represents a Yid who is disloyal to Yiddishkeit. So it's another one of those four categories where we're saying it's an Aveda, and we have to work on bringing it back to the Yiddishkeit. Yeah. Anyway. So that's the bottom line is. So we've gone through how the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda Darshan and the Pesukim respectively, but we are left with the question of, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does it mention Chamer when it didn't need to? According to him, it could have just said sure. And ultimately, since it says Kesef Yashiv Liv Olav, we would understand that it includes anything that includes any animal as well as Kalim. And why does it need so sure is excluding a person, but what are we excluding on the basis of Chamer?
Since we're not using shor and chamor, we're not using
the klal prat the klal.
Then how maybe it comes up?
No, so because ultimately, since it says sure, he does agree that if that didn't have to say sure, it could have just said ki yipol hanoifol or something like that. Something falls into the burr. Instead, when it specifies shor and chamor, so we're meant to understand that sure is including something for us, and that something is odd.
That stays.
Yeah, so that stays even according to the Bihod. Yeah.
Everything's answered.
So everything's answered except for that one detail, yeah. Except for that one detail of why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it needs to say Chamor. Yeah.
If he learns from
Shur that we're Mamayat a person, and on the other hand, he's learning from Oi that we're adding Kalim, so what are we excluding from Chamor? Yeah. Next. Maybe in that connection, I mean, here the Rebbe is saying in that sicha that seh da'aveda l'divar hakol kasha again means how you're going to restore that seh if he doesn't have that most basic thing of Shulchan Aruch. Maybe in a similar vein, what the Gemara is saying is something similar. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds, we learned in Masechta Kiddushin, that only when a yid is doing what the Eibishter wants, is he called bonim atam la'ashem alekeichem, and we're not, they're not. So maybe therefore the Gemara is saying that if a person is a chamor, if he's been cold towards Yiddishkeit, and on top of that he's in a burr, then how a kasha, then it's also a little difficult to understand how you're going to reconnect them with the Eibishter, and nevertheless the Torah is saying that you need to do that. Okay. Next, nafal asecha shur cheres shur to a cotton chayev. We said in the Mishnah that if a shur cheres shur to a cotton fell into the pit, then the person is chayev. Now, what does that mean? Shur cheres shur to a cotton could mean a shur which is a cheres shur to a cotton. Cotton, for this purpose, he points out, would mean an animal that's not old enough to learn how to plow yet. So therefore, just like it runs around free, and therefore it doesn't pay attention where it's going. As opposed to, it could mean the shur of a cheres shur to a cotton. So which one does it mean over here? So my shur cheresh shur to a cotton. Ilema shur shell cheresh shur shell shoita shur shell cotton. And you're saying he'd be chayiv if those fall into a burr. What does that imply? So what does that imply? That if it was a shur belonging to a normal person, then he would be potter. Why should he be potter? Where do we find the Torah saying that a shur that belongs to a pekeach falls into a burr, the owner of the burr should be potter? So Amar Rabbi Yechana, no, it means shur shahu cheres, shur shahu shoyte, shur shahu cotton. It means the shirt itself is a cheres shoyte of a cotton. So therefore, it doesn't pay attention to where it's going. Well, so then what does that imply? Ha shor shor pekeach potter. So what does it mean? Does it imply that if the shor is normal, then you're potter? Why should he be potter? Again, where do we find the Torah excludes such a thing? So the answer is, I'm Rabbi Yemi, lo mi boya karma. So Rabbi Yemi is saying, the Mishnah is saying one of those needless to say things. Lo mi boya shor shor pekeach techayev. Needless to say, if the shor is a pekeach, then you'd be chayev, because after all, the Torah is saying that you're chayev for anything that falls into your bur. Abel shor shor tokon. Ema, you might think, look, I've dug the burr, sure, but I shouldn't be exclusively responsible for what happened to the shur. The fact that it's a cheresh, the fact that it's a cotton, caused it to fall in. So therefore, I shouldn't be responsible for 100% of the nezek. Kamash malan, therefore, it's a liftar. So therefore, the owner of the burr ought to be potter. Kamash malan, and therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, therefore, the Mishnah is implying that even then, the owner of the burr is chayev 100%. Well, that's what Gemara asks. Omalei Rav Acha l'Ravina. Vahatanya, what do you mean? We learn the other way around than a braisa. Nafalosecha bar das potter. A braisa says that if a ben das falls into a burr, then he's potter. My lav shur ben das. Doesn't that mean even a shur that has das? So in that case, not like Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying that if a shur pikeach falls in there, then you chayev. So Amalei sort of an answer is loy, Adam, no, bar das means a person. As we've been discussing in the previous suvya, a person falls into a burr and gets killed, then the owner of the burr is potter. So therefore, when the braisa is saying, not a ben das, then if a ben das falls in there, it means if a person falls in there. So you want to ask, well, by that logic, elameata adam ben das hu de potter, halab ben das hu de chayev. So what are you telling me then? The implication would be that if a person is a ben das, then the one who dug the burr is potter. But if the person does not have das, lab ben das would be chayev. But if, for example, it was a child or a shoyte, then the owner of the burr would be chayev. We've been saying all this time, shur v'layadim. See, the pasuk says shur, and we're excluding a person regardless of the mental capacity of the person. Always a potter. So how can the braisa be saying ben das, bar das, whatever, and mean davka, certain kinds of people? A person is potter for any kind of person who falls into a burr and gets killed. So you can't say that. So wouldn't it mean, therefore, that bar das has to refer to the shur? And therefore, it's saying that a shur bar das who falls in there is potter, not like Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying. So we're back to the question, why should you be potter for a shur that's a bar das, that's pikeach, that falls in there? You could answer, elamai ben das, min ben das. Fine, you can say the word ben das doesn't mean davka, that this individual person has das. It means he belongs to a species that has das. He's part of the human race, and therefore he himself may not have das, but the human race as a whole has das. But the Gemara says omale, but Rav Acha says v'hotanya nafal secha shur ben das potter. What do you mean? Another braisa clarifies that the word ben das doesn't mean a person; it means a shur. So even a shur, so not only a person falls in there, he's potter, but even a shur ben das falls in there, he's potter. So we're back to the question: why taka should he be potter for a shur ben das? So Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says that's what it means. Sherva hu chera, sherva hu shoita, sherva hu cotton. When is a person chayev? So we are going to explain, like Rabbi Yochanan said, sher chera shoita of a cotton means the sher itself is a chera shoita of a cotton, not that it belongs to a chera shoita of a cotton. And yes, davka, only when it's one of these cases would he be chayev. Abel sherva hu bekeach potter, but a normal sher, says Rava, the Mishnah is saying he's potter. My timer, deboile yuniu mezal, because a sher should pay attention where it's going, and that way it won't fall into a burr. In effect, what it is, in other words, like this, that it's considered the sher caused itself damage. Now, we did learn before, we said that when it comes to people, we learned in the third parak, people don't always normally look where they're going. Thus, we had a case, for example, somebody left out a jug in Rosh Hashanah Abim and somebody else tripped over it. The one who left the jug there was chayev, because animals are different, though. We talked about over there, because animals look downward when they're walking, so therefore they should notice if there's any burr nearby and note to stay away from.
Like people or animals, if they approaching, they see another animal or something danger, then they'll pick up their, you know, they're not going to be necessarily looking down. Also, it's tricky.
Right, but the point is, in other words, that's what we're saying. For sure, by day, should notice if there's a bird over there. So the Gemara says, in fact, Tanya Nami Hoch, yeah, we learn a braisa exactly like that. So if the ox itself was a cher shert v'katan, or the ox was blind, so it couldn't see where it was going, or if the animal was walking at night, then the owner of the burr is chayev, because then it was careless of you to leave the burr open. But if the shur was a pikeach and walking by day, then you'd be potter, even though you left your burr uncovered, because the animal should have paid attention where it's going. Again, like we said before, the Rambam learns, and the Ravid disagrees with him, that if the animal or the person, for that matter, got injured in the burr, then you are chayev. And the Magid Mishnah explains that the Rambam would hold that animals and people are only careful of hazards that are likely to kill them, but not ones that are likely to only injure them. Okay. Mishnah says.
That's the final answer.
So that's it, yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Echad shur ve'echad kol behema. Whether it comes to a shur or whether it comes to any other kind of animal, or for that matter, birds, Lenefila sabur, the same rules apply when they fall into a burr, as we worked out on Amud Aleph, how we know that. First we thought a klal a prat a klal, then we said because van messi aloy, and ultimately we said because kesef yashav levalav. So as far as that, and then there's a number of other dinim as well, where we say that even though the Torah specifies only a shur, in fact it includes all other kinds of animals and birds as well. So here are some other ones. Another one is as far as when the Torah says before Matan Torah that they had to keep the animals from going up onto Har Sinai. The pasuk says in behema im ish lo yichya, any animal or any person that goes up onto Har Sinai from when the Shechina rested on there will not live. In other words, has to be given skila. So yeah, that'll apply not only to animals. It'll also include birds. It'll also include wild animals and whatever. Yeah.
So the expression in the pasuk is
the expression is he suckle ye suckle a yore ye yore. He will be given skila or he will be thrown down. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in fact, learns from that pasuk how skila takes place. That skila involves throwing a person down, which we learned the other day, and then throwing rocks on him if necessary. So yeah, that's how it was over here. By the way, you could ask, I mean, my Nahava Hava, it's something that happened 3,000 odd years ago. Why do we need to know the halacha about it? The Tosfos Yomtov points out sometimes the Mishnah will do that. Sometimes a Mishnah or a Gemara will tell us details of a halacha that happened long ago, which is not necessarily relevant for us in future times, but just we learn from that the concept of skila, but the fact that other animals are included, that as far as going up onto Har Sinai, never again after Matan Torah is there an issur to go up onto Har Sinai. Well, the Teshlume Kefil, also as far as paying Kefil, which we're going to learn extensively in the seventh parak of Arma Sector, about a Ghana paying Kefil. This is Rambam Shlosha Parakim these days. So even though the Torah mentions in that connection, it mentions Mishur Ad Chamur Ad Seh, and you would think that it means only those kinds of creatures. In fact, it includes any kind of anything that a person steals. Also, as far as Ashava Saveda, where again it mentions certain kinds of things, like we said before, Shur, Chamur, Seh, Salma, but in fact it includes everything else as well. Leprika, also as far as the din that if you see another yid's animal collapsing, overloaded, under its burden, so even though it mentions shirt over there, it includes other animals as well. Lachasima, the fact that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working. Lo saxim shur b'dishay, again, it means not only a shur, it means other kinds of animals as well. Lekilayim, as far as kilayim, where the Torah tells us that you're not allowed. Now there's two aspects in kilayim, as the Gemara is going to point out. You have the aspect that you're not allowed to cross breed two of them, and you also you're not allowed to have two different kinds of animals mate. You're also not allowed to yoke the two of them together to a plow or to a wagon or what have you to do work for you together. The Rambam, by the way, holds that midaraisa you chayav only where when it comes to the two of them yoked together, only where one is a kosher animal and one a non-kosher animal. But since the pasuk mentions shur v'chamur, he says it's meant to mean any one kosher animal and one non-kosher animal. He holds any other pair, for example, let's say a horse with a donkey, according to the Rambam, would be only dirabanan. The Rosh holds that would be midaraisa as well. Anyway. So it includes other kinds of animals as well. So not just, for example, an ox and a donkey. According to the Rambam, midaraisa, it would also be also, let's say, a person yokes up, let's say, a goat and a horse together. Would also be yeah. Well, the Shabbos, and as far as Shabbos, when the Torah says that you can't allow your animals to work on Shabbos, then it includes all kinds of animals. Not only other kinds of animals, but also wild animals and birds are also included. Well, then why does it say shorah chamor by all these dinim? Because the Torah talks about the more common thing, the common kinds of animals that people had in those days were shor v'chamor. So therefore, it mentions that. But in fact, we're learning by each one of them, as we're going to work out in the Gemara, that it includes that by each one includes other kinds of animals and birds as well. So the Gemara starts on. Lenfilas abur, why is it that other animals are included in a pit? Because like we said, kesef yoshev levolok, because like we finished working out on a monalith, it says that he has to repay money to the owner called the islay bailim, so it includes anything that has an owner, kadam moran, like we said on a monalith. So fine, it doesn't include adam because of the miut from shur, but it does, and according to the chacham, it excludes kalim because of the miut of chamur, and according to the Yehuda, it adds them because of oy. Yeah. Fine. La froshas har sinai. Where do we see that it includes being separated by Har Sinai? Because the pasuk says, "In behemayim ish lo yichya." The pasuk says, "Whether animal or man shall not live." V'chayi v'chla behema havia. So now, when it says behema, automatically the word behema can include chaya as well. We have an example of that. Rashi says you have in Parsha Surah A when it lists the kosher animal, it says these are the behema that you can eat, and that lists three types of behema and seven types of chaya. So we see that chaya b'chal behema, we see when the Torah says behema, can include chaya as well.
Even though it was written separately.
Right? So sometimes the Torah will say chaya and behema separately. But the point is, the Torah starts off with zoysa behema asher techelu, and then it lists oxen and it lists cattle, sheep, and goats. Then it continues with deer and gazelles and whatnot. So we see, and it doesn't say zoysa chaya separately for those. So therefore we understand that behema includes all of those. And im l'rabbis is a oifus. When it says im behema, im ish, then it includes also birds. So yes, if a person had a pet chicken, for example, that went up to Har Sinai at the time, then that chicken would be chayv nisayim. Next, the tashlume kefo kedam rinan. As far as tashlume kefo, we're going to talk about it in the seventh perek. Because we're going to learn the limud over there. Because the pasuk says al kol dvar pesha. The pasuk says anything with which a person is careless, klal kol dvar pshia. So it includes anything with which a person might be careless. So therefore, so tashlume kefil, the context there, the pasuk is talking about a shomer who was careless with something and it got stolen, and the claim in Beis Din is that he stole it himself, or he has to take a shvura that he didn't, and if it turns out that he swore falsely, he has to pay kefil because he himself stole it. So we see from that kefil applies to anything with which a person might be pshia. So not just animals, but anything else as well. So again, even though the Torah mentions specifically chamor, shor, etc., it means anything else. We're going to talk about that in the seventh parak, Bez Hashem. L'hashavas aveda, because it says l'chol avedas hachicha. The pasuk says anything that your fellow yid, anything your brother might lose. L'prika, yalav chamor, chamor mishabas. Where do we see when it comes to unloading an animal? There the Torah says kisira chamor seinacha. So we learn by exeda shava of the fact that it says chamor by Shabbos. Where by Shabbos it says you have to allow your animals to rest, shorcha v'chamorcha. So we learn from the chamor. So we learn from that the same thing there, as it means all animals, as we're going to explain soon. So the same thing by pricker, it includes all animals. L'chassima, yalef shor m'shabbos. Then when it comes to muzzling an animal, where it says l'saksim shor b'dishoy, so again, we learn by Xeter Shava from Shabbos. It says shor by Shabbos. It says shor by there, l'saksim shor b'dishoy. So the same way as by Shabbos, as we're going to work out soon, it includes other kinds of animals, the same way by chassima, it includes other kinds of animals and birds. L'kilayim, as far as we said in the Mishnah that kilayim are included, so it depends. There's two kinds of kilayim. If we mean the kilayim of, for example, yoking two animals together to a plow, well then yalef shor shor mishabbos. Then again, we're learning from Xer Shava from Shabbos, where it says shor by Shabbos and it says shor here because it says loisachrish b'shor v'chamor yachdan. Ikilayim daharba, if you're talking about the kilayim of mating two animals together, then you have a different limud. We're there when it comes to kilayim of animals. The expression that doesn't mention specifically shur and chamur. It says lo sabia behem tochol lo sabia kilayim. So then yalach behem tocha mishabbos. Then we learn an exeter shavu from the word behem tocha that it says in connection with Shabbos. So therefore, just like there, it means any other animals or birds. So it does by harbara as well. Okay, v'gabes Shabbos menolon. Well, Shabbos itself, where do we see that includes all these different kinds of creatures? So detanya, we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Yosi Omi, Meshum Rabbi Shmuel, B'dibris HaRishonis Nema Abdecha V'Amoscha V'Amtecha. In the first Dibris, in Parashas Yisrael, the Torah says that you have to make sure that you rest on Shabbos, and your slave, and your maidservant, and your animal. So it just mentions your animal in general, without listing Shur V'Chamor specifically. Over Dibris HaRishonis Nema V'Shurcha V'Chamorcha V'Chol V'Amtecha. And then by the second Dibris, in Parashas V'Aschanan, it mentions specifically your Shur and your Chamor, and all your animals. So now, why does it have to list them? Shur and chamur are in the category of behemdecha. So why is it that? So why does it just say behemdecha again? The loma yotzu. Why are they mentioned specifically? So loy malach, it comes to tell you ma shur v'chamur ha'omokan chay v'oiv kayotz behen. Just like here, when it says shur v'chamur, it includes also wild animals and birds. Now we haven't yet figured out how that is. But we're going to explain that soon. But the point is, we're going to say that the words shurcha v'chamurcha v'chol b'amtecha include wild animals and birds. So therefore, just like over here, shur and chamur mean not just them, but anything else. Afkol chayev oif kayotz behen, the same way, any place else where the Torah is saying that with shur and chamur, then it means also it includes chaya and oif. And right. So the Gemara says, well, then in that case, So then, why don't we darshan as a klal prat? Ema behema the dibris harishonis klal. Maybe we should say the word behemtecha in the first dibris is a klal. Shurcha v'chamurcha the dibris acharonis prat. And then when it says in the second dibris, it says shurcha v'chamurcha. Maybe that's a prat. So therefore, klal prat. So therefore, klal prat ein b'chlal ala mashav prat. Shur v'chamur ein midi acharin aloi. Maybe on the contrary, maybe it means only shur v'chamur. Now, Tosfos points out, now elsewhere, when the Gemara tries this kind of thing, the Gemara will say, what do you mean? You can't have a prat in one place in Chumash. You can't have a klal in one place in Chumash and a prat someplace completely different. The klal of prat, or the klal of prat as well, have to be close to one another in the same pasuk, or an adjacent psukim or whatever. Here, though, Tosfos says, the fact is, both sets of dibras were said at the same time. We know Shoma Rezacha B'dibra Achad, and similarly with the other variations in the dibras between the first and the second. Therefore, the Gemara can consider them as though it's a klal of prat that's altogether. Well then, so maybe we're saying only shur v'chamur. Amri, so they answer back. V'chol behemtecha, the dibris acharon is chaz v'kalo. Sure, but then in the second dibris, it continues with the word v'chol behemtecha and all your animals. Therefore, it's a klal prat to klal, and klal prat to klal is a chaz v'kalo. So now we have a klal again. Klal prat to klal, you have to done on the kena prat. Ma prat mefurish bale chayim. So what's specified in the prat? What's shur v'chamur are living creatures. Afkol bale chayim. Therefore, we learn that any other living creatures are included as well. With that said, though, Tosfos does mention on the next Amud that maybe fish are not included, because Tosfos says the fact is, what are we talking about not having your animals do work on Shabbos? This is the concept called mechamer acha behemta, where a person is walking together with his animal and leading it and making it carry a burden or something. Fish, you don't usually do that. So therefore, maybe we're not including fish. Not to say you can have your fish do malacha for you on Shabbos, but not necessarily are we including it from the pasuk over here. But at least we're including animals and birds where it's normal to be mechamer, where it's normal to follow them and make sure they do the work. If somebody is able to have fish do work, I don't know, they have and then I don't know, you hear sometimes these things about strapping underwater bombs to dolphins and things like that to go and attack enemy ships or something, I don't know, whatever, anyway. So you have a claw of project claw. But the Gemara asks, like we asked on Amud Aleph, Ema ma prat mefurish dovashin ivlosei metamib magov masa. Well, then again, Shur and Chamur both have this in common, that their nevela is metame by touching or carrying it. Af kol dovashin ivlosei metamib magov masa. So maybe it includes only those kinds of creatures. Avo oifis loy. So in that case, birds would be excluded. So they answer back, Ami, they answer back, in Cain, Nichta Rahman, Chad Prata, because then the Torah could have written either only Shur or Chamur, and we would have learned anything, everything else from it. Now that it has Shur and Chamur, so like we said, Anam and Aleph, Meina Inyan, then we can, Meina Inyan Lazet, today in Lazet, we can learn birds from it as well. But the Gemara asks, like it asked on Aleph, Hey Nichta Rahmana, what do you mean if you were to write only Shur or Chamur, you have a problem. Which one would the Torah write, and we would learn everything else from it? If the Torah had written only Shur, then he would say it only includes creatures that can be brought on the Mizbeach. Therefore, the Torah writes Chamor to include other animals as well. Maybe if it said only Chamor, it would only include the kind of animals that to which Bechorda applies, so it would exclude most non-kosher animals as well as birds and wild animals. Kosev Rachmana Shur, and therefore the Torah had to write Shur to include them as well. So you can't learn that way. So the Gemara says, you're right, you can't learn from the Klal Prat Klal, Ela B'chol Behem Techa Ribuyahu. Rather, the word B'chol Behem Techa is not a Klal, not a Klal Prat Klal, it's a Ribuy, it comes to include all animals. So you want to ask the whole Hecha, the Chosav Rachmana Kol Ribuyu. So you're telling me whenever the Torah says Kol, it means to add everything else, and you don't do a Klal or Prat or Klal. Well, Gavi Maisa, what about when it comes to spending Maisa Sheni money? Dichtiv Kol the Kodashin and the Klal or Prat. And yet, it says the word Kol, and yet we Darshin using Klal or Prat or Klal, and we say that it means that you can't just buy anything with Maisa Sheni money. Tanya. When the Pasuk says, V'nasata kesef b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha, the Pasuk says you spend ma'aser sheni money on anything that you desire, klal, that would be a general rule. Then when it says, V'bokor v'atzon v'yayin v'ashecha prat, only cattle, sheep, wine, and strong wine, then it's, that would be a prat. V'chol asher tish'ocha nafshecha, anything that you desire, anything that your desire asks of you, chozav v'kol, there's another klal, klal prat to klal, yad donan kena prat, Ma prat mefurish pri mi pri v'gedule karka. What are all these four things? Bokar v'tzayin v'yayin v'shecher. They all have in common. Pri mi pri. You have a fruit that's produced from another fruit. Wine comes from grapes. Shecher, Rashi explains that he actually means beer. So beer comes from dates. So you have a product of a product or a different product, as opposed to, for example, mushrooms and water and salt, which are not pre-mi-pri. They're not a product of another product. The gedule karka, and that they grow directly or indirectly from the ground. The yayin and sheikha grow directly from the ground. The animals live off grass that eats from the ground. Therefore, and we learn from that you can't buy mushrooms or water or salt with ma'aser sheni money. Now, so there we see, even though it says kol, then we're saying we still darshan as a klal or prat or klal. Why are we here? We're saying because it says v'chol behem techa, that we're ignoring klal or prat or klal and making it into a ribui to include everything. By ma'aser sheni, we should do the same thing.
Ribui is
that we would include everything. So since it says v'chol asher tishocha nafshecha, then it would include that you can buy anything, any kind of food with ma'aser sheni money, including water, including salt.
Yeah, when you have a ribui that you don't darshan.
Then we don't darshan klal or prat or klal. That's what we're saying, yeah. So the answer is Amri. So they answer back, Bichol Klola Kol Ribuya. When you have the word Bichol, like it says by Ma'aser Sheni, then that's still meant to be part of the Klal or Prat or Klal. There it says, Uvichol Asher Tishocha Nafshecha. Therefore, that means that it's part of the Klal or Prat or Klal. Here it's saying Kol Behem Techa, and doesn't say Uvichol, doesn't say Bichol Behem Techa or something like that. So therefore, the word Kol by Shabbos is a Ribuya. Because the Gemara says, oh, sorry, I skipped the line. So there's a difference between b'chol and kol. Or you could answer that even the word kol also is meant as a klal or prat or klal. Miu hai kol dehocha ribuyahu. Here specifically, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to the dibra of Shabbos, the word kol must be a ribui mid havelay lemichdav uvehem techa could have been divrei sarashonis, because it could have just said shorcha v'chamorcha uvehem techa and said then the word uvehem techa would be identical to the first divrei because of v'chol behem techa. Instead, it wrote v'chol shma min ribuya. Therefore, we see that it's a ribui and it's meant to include other kinds of animals as well. Not because of the extra base, but because v'chol behem techa rather than just saying uvehem techa by writing the word kol altogether means all animals. Well, the Gemara says, "Hash the damit kori boyahu behem tachab the dibris harishonis v'shor v'chamor the dibris achronis lamali." Well, then, if we're saying ultimately we're including all the other animals, so why does it say behem tachab by the first dibris? And why does it say shor v'chamor by the second dibris? It should just say v'chol behem tachab, and we understand that includes all animals. Ultimately, we're saying we're not doing a klal prop to klal, so we're not using the vehem tachav from the first divris. We're not using the shur v'chamur from the second divris. So why did it say them? And the answer is Amri. The answer shur lagmuri shur l'chasima. The shur by Shabbos is meant to use as one half of the gzeder shava in connection with chasima. That's how we know that chasima applies not only to a shur but to other animals as well. Chamur, lagmuri, chamur, the prika, and the word chamur is being used for prika, the unloading of an animal. And behemtecha, lagmuri, behemtecha, lekalaim, and the word behemtecha in the first dibris is meant as one end of a gzeira shava that we learned by kilaim. The fact that we said before, we learned prika and chasima and kilaim from Shabbos, this is why, because we have these three extra words that the Torah is saying by Shabbos, which we're able to use as one end of a gzeira shava to teach by the other ones. So the Gemara asks one last thing, then. Well, if you're telling me then that we're learning by Gzeira Shava from Shabbos, then it should be also for a person to pull a wagon, for example, together with an animal, the same way as a person can't do Malacha on Shabbos, the same way, and we say, and mentions over there, Abdecha va'amoscha v'hem techa, you can't have your servant do work for you on Shabbos. So the same way, if we're learning Kilayim from that, it should be also for a person to pull a wagon together with an animal. And alamatna, the fact is, we learn in a Mishnah and Kilayim, Odom Motrim Kolam Lachosh Velimshin. A person is allowed to work together with an animal to plow or to pull a wagon or anything else. So the answer is, Omar Papa, Papunai Yodi Taima Dahal Milsa. The Chachamim from Papunai, name of a place, they know the reason for this. And Umanu, who was this Chachamim from Papunai, Rav Acha bar Yaakov. The reason is, the Pasuk says in the Dibris and Parashas Vayeshanan, in order that your Eved and your Oma should rest like you. Since it mentions the point of resting, and we know already, why does it have to add that? We're saying they shouldn't do work, obviously means they're resting. It means, I'm making a hekesh between the Eved and the Oma and the animals, only as far as rest on Shabbos, not as far as anything else. So the hekesh is only limited to the same way you can't have your animal do work on Shabbos. You can't have your Eved and Oma do work for you on Shabbos. But as far as Kilayim, which we're learning from Behem Techa over here, to Kilayim, that you're not allowed to crossbreed two animals or to have two animals do work for you together, we're saying an Eved and Oma are not included in that, and you are allowed to have your Eved or your Oma work together with an animal to pull a load or something.